This is The Parenting Show with Pina Crispo from chicmama.ca. Toronto's news, today's talk, 640 Toronto.
Happy Sunday and welcome to The Parenting Show. I'm your host, Pina Crispo of chicmama.ca. And do you ever have those moments where you run into someone that you haven't seen in a really long time? And it's like, you know, not even a day passed, nothing like skipped a beat. Well, I recently had a moment like that with my good friend Lisa Toma, who I've known for years. But although it seemed like no time had passed, a lot of time has passed and a lot has changed in both of our lives. And so we got to talking, and Lisa has an incredible story. And I was like, you know what? We need to have her on The Parenting Show because I feel like this is a discussion that needs to be had. So let me fill you in. Lisa Toma, she is a trauma practitioner, yoga teacher, and founder of This Is Healing in Bolton. Lisa, how are you? And then we'll get into the rest, but I just want to say, how are you? How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you so much. How are you?
I'm good. I'm so good. And I'm so excited to have you on. And I know I said that you're like a trauma practitioner and a yoga teacher, and you're the founder of This Is Healing in Bolton. But when we were off the air, just getting ready to start the show, I was asking you, I'm like, okay, like, what are your certifications and everything? You're like, well, Pina, I have a lot. Can you just tell everyone at home listening?
Yeah, of course. So I started off my career in early childhood education, which is where we met. Yeah. And I was doing that for many, many years. So throughout all my childhood, through my teens, through my 20s. And then I had my first child and then got pregnant with my second child very shortly after. And that kind of brought me on a completely different direction. So it was very difficult for me to go back into the child care field, having two children back to back. And I didn't want to come home depleted to them. So that's when my whole self-discovery journey came in. And I was kind of like relearning myself or finding my new self. Yeah. And through that, my first certification I did was actually a life coaching certification, which was so beautiful. And then, of course, every course or certification I took led me to something else. So from my life coaching certification, that brought me to my meditation teacher certification. And then from there, that brought me to my yoga teacher training. And from there, when we get into my story, it'll make more sense. I started feeling like there was a much bigger purpose for me than doing meditation and yoga, which was a huge part of my healing journey myself. But it brought me into a deeper form of it. So then that's when I started looking into healing from trauma, which was what I was doing myself. So I had taken a trauma practitioner coach certification, sorry, a trauma coach, and then an integrative trauma practitioner, which brought me into somatic experiencing that was founded by Dr. Peter Levine. A lot of people know about him. His work is incredible. And then that brought me into somatic yoga, somatic exercises. And then I kind of took all my certifications where I had no idea where they were even going to lead me. And then I created this studio with a whole dynamic of healing modalities. And I basically created what I needed through my healing journey. So that's just like all of it.
I love it.
Combined into one. Yeah. And then, of course, I stuck with my children's stuff as well. And I did mental health and wellness for children. And I still do a lot of like coaching for children and workshops for children as well. So yeah.
And yes, you mentioned you're also a mama. And
yeah, I have three kids. Yeah.
And you homeschool them as well.
I do. Yeah. Well, I homeschool them part-time now since I started my studio. It was really difficult for me to make that decision, but I really wanted to get my career started. So I did put them in a homeschooling pod 3 days a week, and then I homeschool 2 days a week. Yeah. So
that is incredible. It's incredible. Like, I bow down to you because like you know, my journey and, you know, career path is very different. It's busy. It's chaotic. It's crazy. I too have three kids, but I look at you and I'm like, wow, bow down. I bow down. And the work that you're doing is so important and it's crucial. And that's why when we ran into each other, you know, like a little bit less than a month ago, you know, and you're telling me all this stuff, I'm like, Lisa, this is incredible. And we need to talk about it because people out there need to hear about this stuff and need to know that they have access to people like you that can help them. Trauma is not something to take lightly, whether you are a child who's gone through it, which I think that that is more severe because it's just like you're looking to others to help you. You don't know. And then obviously as an adult at any stage of your life, trauma is a lot, right? And, and you suffered through trauma as a child, which you said, you know, that my story is going to make sense of everything I'm saying. And I know it's a tough one. And I know that you speak about this and like, thank you for sharing, with, you know, your audience on social media and to everyone that, that you come across, because I think it's important that we hear stories like yours. So, I'm gonna shut up now, but I want you to let our audience know what you went through.
Yeah, of course. Oh gosh, where do I even start? Okay. So, yeah, I am very open about my story and I feel like that's the most important part, is like breaking the silence. Cause I feel like when everybody's so silent about their traumas, and of course there's no, right or wrong way. Some people just are not there yet, but I feel like when you break the silence is first letting people know that they're not alone in whatever it is that they're going through. And second is to bring awareness and education to people who aren't aware of these, you know, real life situations. So I'm the oldest sibling of four. And growing up, I mean, we lived in a pretty typical, you know, old school mentality, Italian household. And there was, unfortunately, there was domestic violence present in our home. Between my parents, well, my dad. And so that was like, I think I want to say maybe like our first experience with childhood trauma, which I obviously didn't understand at the time. And, you know, fast forwarding through there, there were situations where there were domestic disputes where myself being the oldest felt that I needed to get in the middle to separate my parents. And it was, I guess, it was pretty traumatic looking back now. And fast forward when I, shortly, I think about 2 weeks after I turned 18 and my three younger siblings, was my brother's 16th birthday. My sister was 14 and my youngest, sibling was 8. And it was, May 1st of 2002. And we were at school, my brother and I. We were in high school at the time. My two younger siblings were in elementary school. And we had police officers arrive at the school. We were called down to the office. Weirdest thing. I saw my brother in the office. I'm like, what the heck are you doing here? Anyways, long story short, they brought us into a back room of the school. And the first thing that came to my mind when I saw the police officers were that my mom was leaving my dad. And my mom had sent the police officers to come and take us from school. So my mom was trying to leave the marriage, but there was so much fear around that for her. She was uneducated. She was pulled out of school at a very young age. And she got married when she was 18, had me when she was just turning 19. And she was very, I guess, financially abused as well, where she wasn't allowed to make her own money. So there was that control there. And she was very dependent on that. She had four kids. And so that was the day when the police officers showed up that we were told that my mom had been murdered from my dad. So that was like
a lot. That's a lot to take in. You're a child. You're 18.
I have a big part of me.
Yeah. I want to get more into that, into your story and how all these beautiful things came from that. Mm-hmm. So don't go anywhere. We're going to be back with more. This is the Parenting Show right here on 640 Toronto.
You're listening to The Parenting Show with Pina Crispo from chicmama.ca, Toronto's news. Today's talk, 640 Toronto.
Welcome back. This is The Parenting Show right here on 640 Toronto. I'm your host, Pina Crispo of chicmama.ca. And tonight on the show, we're talking with my good friend, Lisa Toma. She's a trauma practitioner, yoga teacher, founder of This Is Healing in Bolton, and so much more. Mama and Lisa, right before the break, you were sharing your story with us, and it's a pretty heavy and traumatic and emotional, and I don't even have the words to even try to explain what kind of story it is. But you ended off with saying that you were at the age of 18, the oldest of four siblings, and you'd found out that your mother was murdered. And I'm assuming, and for everyone at home, I do know, though, I should say she was murdered at the hands of your father, correct?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
So how did that play out? You find out that your mom has now passed. Mm-hmm. What's next?
Oh, gosh. So, the rest, starting from there was just an absolute nightmare. Like our world literally got turned upside down, and it was, we were in shock. Like for the longest time, we would wake up every morning, not even believing that something like this had happened or was true. So after that, we all had to go to the police stations. We were separated. We had to do our statement. And I think the scariest part for us was not knowing where we were going to go. I was 18, so I was legally an adult. But my biggest fear was, where are my siblings? My biggest fear was being separated from them because they were minors. And, thankfully, we still had my grandparents on my maternal side, on my mom's parents and my mom's brother. So my mom's brother came and picked us up at the police station later on that night, and we had to stay with him for a bit. Obviously, my grandparents, who were grieving their only daughter, were not in any state of mind to take us in right away. And nor were we, my family didn't want us to be there seeing what my grandparents were going through. So anyways, fast forward, we did end up going with my grandparents maybe a couple weeks after. And we were, I guess, still trying to process it. So my siblings and I were so tight-knit because we only had each other. And we had, my grandparents and my uncle, but nobody really understood the pain and the trauma that we were going through. So we really latched on to each other, which I'm so grateful that we had each other to go through that. And it was a nightmare. We were just trying to get through life, and we kind of had no choice. We had no choice. And, I must say, considering what we went through at the ages that we went through, we all pretty much pulled through in a very positive way and took our story as our strength and did amazing things with it. Of course, it's going to be 23 years this May that my mom has passed. And I had to go through a very long journey, which I think really started after I had my own children. And, I didn't really have awareness around trauma, the effects that trauma has on you, how you show up in your life every day because of the trauma, right? So, when people think trauma, they think this big event needs to happen, but there's also little traumas that happen throughout your childhood and all of our childhood experiences, actually all of our experiences, even in our adulthood. have effect on how we show up every day in our life. And so when I started getting more self-aware of how I was showing up in my life, which I did through, you know, reading books, and I was part of the wake up call that was that's still at 5:30 a.m. And that gave me a lot of self-awareness, which brought me into my healing journey and started learning, wait a minute, how are my traumas affecting me? How am I showing up as a person? How am I showing up as a mother? Most importantly, yes, for me. And I heard this one quote that really shook me. And it was, what you don't heal, your children will inherit. So that was like a gut punch.
Right. This is the generational trauma that people talk about. That some people are like, what does that even mean?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it's true. And I was modeled a lot from, let's just say, my mom, that, you know, the self-sacrificing. And I know a lot of people could relate to this, like a lot of moms self-sacrifice for their partners, for other people, for their children. And her tolerating the abuse, not understanding the fears behind it, obviously, as a child. But those were all things that affected me and how I showed up as a wife, how I showed up as a person, yes, in the world, how I showed up as a mother. And I really wanted to get down to like the nitty gritty of why I was showing up, who I was showing up as, why I was showing up as her, and is this the person that I'm happy showing up as? So that's when I really started, you know, getting into the healing part of the effects of the trauma of my life. And it was not fun. It was not fun at all.
No.
Like, no.
I can't even imagine, because your story, like, I just cannot fathom it, right? And I have my trauma, and I feel so silly even saying it while I'm having this conversation with you and knowing what you've gone through. But like the things that I've been through and trying to go through my healing process, I'm like, screw this, I'm done.
Yeah.
So like, and these are teeny tiny little things in comparison to what you've gone through. So the healing process, no, it's not fun.
It's not fun. It's not. And you know, it's like when you're seeing people healing, especially on social media, and just like how, you know, healing looks like meditation and all of these beautiful things and retreats. And you know, it's not like that at all. There are moments that are like that, but healing is an emotional roller coaster. And you know what? They say that sometimes healing is more painful than the actual wound itself. And that is the truth.
Believe that. Yeah. I totally, wholeheartedly believe that. It's not an easy thing. And the major part, I would say, is even realizing the trauma. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And being real with yourself to say,
absolutely,
I need to do something about this. I cannot continue living like this. Like, you know, it's not something you sweep under the rug and go about your day.
Once you see it and know it, yeah, you can't unknow it. That's right.
Right? Yes, you can't. So many times, I'm so
too
happy
late.
You said it that way. I'm so happy you said it that way, because I remember having this conversation a few years back, just saying like, can I go back to when I was like oblivious to everything and I didn't recognize what was happening? Like, I was just so naive and life seems so much simpler then. And listen, I'm still going through my healing process, like in the journey.
Absolutely,
I'm not out on the other end yet, but having come such a long way, you realize that it is something that needs to be done. And you need to do this. And like you said, not only for ourselves, but then if we think about our kids, because do we really want to give them this? This is not the kind of gift you want to pass on to. It's not a gift.
Absolutely. We want to break all that generational crap, right? And we are, a lot of us are, but we can't break generational traumas, or we can't show up as our best selves if we're not open to healing our own wounds. Yeah. And it's, I mean, like I said, it's not fun. And there's a lot around it. And that's why I wanted to open my studio, because, and now going into my healing journey, I was chasing. It's kind of like, you know, you're going to go skydiving and then you're on the plane and you don't know if you should jump. But then when you jump, it's too late, right? You're yeah. going down from there. So once I jumped off the plane, literally, I didn't know where to go. I didn't know where to start. I didn't know anything about anything. All I knew is that I wanted to heal my traumas, and I wanted to, yeah, just uncover all of the things that I needed to uncover. And then that's when my healing journey began.
And the beautiful thing about this is that not only is it your healing journey, but you're opening your journey like to others to come and join you so they can also heal. We are talking about trauma, healing, and everything in between with Lisa Toma, trauma practitioner, yoga teacher, and founder of This Is Healing in Bolton. Don't go anywhere, because we will be back with more right here on The Parenting Show.
Welcome back to The Parenting Show with Pina Crispo from chicmama.ca. Toronto's news, today's talk, 640 Toronto.
It is Sunday night and you are tuned into The Parenting Show right here on 640 Toronto. I'm your host, Pina Crispo of chicmama.ca. And it's a little bit of a heavy topic tonight. We're talking about trauma and healing from trauma and the whole healing journey and process. And of course, we brought on my good friend, Lisa Toma, mama of three, trauma practitioner, yoga teacher, founder of This Is Healing. Oh my God, and so much more. She's got so many titles, I can't even keep up, Lisa.
Sorry.
No, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. And it's important because we need more people like you in this world to heal everyone who is going through trauma and pain, because it's not a good place to be. And like you said earlier on in the show, if we as parents are dealing with something and we need to heal from that, or we're dealing with something, we need to heal from that so it doesn't go on to our kids. And as a parent, we don't want that. Like, we take this like oath. Would you say, Lisa, like when you sign up to be a parent, it's like this oath. Mm-hmm. And that is to like protect and keep our kids healthy and safe. Right. So
100%.
It starts with us. Mm-hmm. If we're not in a good place, how do we expect our kids to be in a good place? And I always use this analogy where it's like, you know, when you're on the plane.
Yeah,
and they always say, in case of an emergency, the masks will come down. Put it on yourself first before That's you right. put yeah. it on your child, right? And like mm-hmm. a lot of the times, us as parents, it's like, no, we always want to take care of the kids, and we have that That's the right. mom guilt or the dad guilt that eats away at us.
I went through this so badly, yeah.
Right? So it's like, oh my God, I can't do this for myself. Like, I feel so guilty. I can't take time for myself. I can't go out, or I can't lock myself in the bathroom and take a bath, like, because I want 30 minutes of peace. I always need to be there for my kids, and I need to be there for them and do everything that they need. But that's not the way to do it. We need to take care of ourselves, because if we're not in a good place, no one else is going to be in a good place.
That's right. Yeah.
Right?
You got it.
So Lisa, we're talking about trauma. And I bet you, like, everyone listening at home or in the car right now on the radio, they're probably like, yep, I've been through some kind of trauma to one extent or another. You know what I mean? Or That's to right. one degree, yeah. you know, to another. And a lot of people may be on their healing journey. And then some people are just like, and I know that this was me at first. I'm like, what do I do? Like, mm-hmm. where do I start? You know, it's so easy. You throw on social media, you open up Instagram, TikTok, whatever. People are doing yoga. People are meditating. People are telling you how to breathe.
That's right.
But where do you start?
Isn't that the question? Yeah, 100%. And I feel like that's everybody's struggle. Like, the first step is obviously having the awareness that you are holding on to, you know, some past things or things that are maybe currently happening in your life now, and you don't know where to even go from there, because like you said, you go on social media and you see all of these beautiful and different things, and then you try them and you're like, I can't do this. Like, And then you kind of, I feel like it discourages a lot of people from starting their healing journey because it feels like unattainable to them, right? And it's not like that at all. I mean, for me, I didn't even know I was healing, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's not like I was like, okay, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to start my healing journey. And this is where I'm going to start. You know what
January
I mean? I
was first.
That's right. Right. Like from this point forward, I'm going to find what it is that's going to heal me. But subconsciously or unconsciously, I should say, when I started, it's like you start one thing and it leads you to so many other things.
Yeah.
And then by the end of it, that's when you realize you're like, oh my God, I wouldn't have typically reacted like that, you know, 5 years ago, or I dealt with this situation a lot better than I expected. So basically, first, where you start is the awareness that you even want to start, right? The yeah. Around the awareness that, okay, this is my story. And I love that you said that people experience trauma on so many different levels at one degree to another, because I feel like when people hear the word trauma, they feel like it needs to be like a story like mine or something that's so terrible that has happened in their life. But there's so many different types of trauma. It could be like childhood trauma. It could be car accidents. It could be toxic relationships. It could be losing somebody you love. That those are all traumas. Anything that over or dysregulates your nervous system is trauma to the body, no matter how big or small. It could be a whole bunch of little different tiny traumas, right? So I wanted to really put that out there because I don't want people to think that a trauma means that something so, so bad has to happen, because everybody has their different degrees of trauma, but it's all trauma in the
yeah.
same, right?
Well, I'm glad you said that, because
yeah.
a lot of people will discount it and be like, well, I'm not
and at you did that too,
a certain
right?
level. Like, oh, I did it.
That's yeah. right. You did it. Yeah. Because you said, you know, I feel like so silly saying my trauma is compared to yours, but your trauma was very traumatic for you.
Yeah.
And your, you know, and your nervous system. So I feel like it's so important for everybody to like honor their story and their experiences and try not to compare it to other people's, because what happened to you may have not been big for me, but it was big for you. And yeah. it was big for your nervous system, regardless of whatever. I mean, I can compare my trauma to somebody else's and their trauma might be, will be a lot bigger than mine. So where does it end then? Right? Whose yeah. trauma is the worst?
I know. And right? you know what? I'm glad you're saying that. And that actually brings me back to a conversation I once had with a doctor during some of the shit that I've gone through. And I remember saying to this doctor, saying, you know, but there's always someone else out there that has it worse than me, so I shouldn't complain.
That's right.
This doctor looked at me and said, screw those people. You need to worry about yourself and what you and your mm-hmm. family are going through. Don't, it's not your business what anyone else is going through. And for no, you to say,
everybody can
oh,
say
I'm going to
yeah.
discount what I'm going through because it's not as big as someone else. Mm-hmm. Like, and what they're going through. She's like, absolutely mm-hmm. not. And from that yeah. day forward, I used to live and swear by, Pina, don't bitch and complain. Someone out there has it worse. I used to live and swear by that. But yeah. when that doctor said this to me, I was like, it was like that light bulb, that epiphany. I was like,
and you know what that does too, Pina? That also causes you to suppress the things
yes.
that your experiences and your yeah. emotions, and then feeling guilty for feeling those things. And the more we suppress things, that's how trauma shows up in our body. Then we start getting sick, autoimmune diseases, physical
right.
pain.
And that's what happened to me.
Right. That's right. And that's what happens, right? So you go, like you experience all of these different symptoms, and it's because you didn't allow yourself to express yourself the way you needed to. So your body's like, all right, well, here we are. I'm going to show you all the things you need to let go of.
Right.
And you really have no choice at that point. Yeah.
And I'm so happy you just brought up like how it will manifest in our bodies in different ways.
It does.
In
absolutely
ways.
It does.
You know, like mm-hmm. it could be with illnesses. Like, you know, during COVID, I was doing research for, you know, the parenting show with our naturopathic resident doctor on the show, Dr. Andy. And then she's like, so you have Hashimoto's. which is an autoimmune disease. I was like, hey, pardon, what?
Yeah.
I'm like, we're supposed to just be doing this stuff for like research for the show. You're not supposed to come back and tell me.
Give me a diagnosis.
I wasn't expecting that. But it did stem from unhealed trauma, suppressing things, feeling, you know what? I'm not that important, is what you're telling yourself. I'm not that important to and deal with this.
You got it.
I'm just gonna let it do its thing. No, that's not the answer, is it, Lisa?
No, it's not at all. That actually makes things worse.
But Lisa's here to help us. So don't go anywhere. We're going to be back with more right here on The Parenting Show.
You're listening to The Parenting Show with Pina Crispo from chicmama.ca, Toronto's news. Today's talk, 640 Toronto.
Welcome back. This is The Parenting Show right here on 640 Toronto. And I'm your host, Pina Crispo, chicmama.ca. We are talking with my good friend Lisa Toma, mama, trauma practitioner, yoga teacher, founder of This Is Healing, and just, she's like a healing goddess. I love it. Lisa, you know, we're talking about trauma, we're talking about healing, we're talking about your story, and you were about to say something before we took our little break. So do you want to pick up from that?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, so I think we were just talking about how, you know, people tend to compare their trauma to bigger traumas and kind of like make their traumas not, I guess, recognizable enough. And like you said, like, you know, people have it worse than me. And I feel like that is a huge thing that a lot of people do. And I was going to say before that even for me, I did that to myself with my own trauma. And as time started going by, so like I had mentioned, this year is going to be 23 years since I lost my mom. And I got to a point maybe like 10 or 15 years in where I was like, you know, feeling, you know, silly that I'm still, you know, talking about my trauma because, okay, it's been 15 years. Like, shouldn't you be over this already? Like, these are the things that I would say to myself. And so if like, and I experienced a pretty big trauma and I just, like the guilt that you put on yourself around healing your trauma, like I did that to myself. So I feel like it's so important for everyone to give themselves like that compassion and that space to say, and going back to where do we start is that like giving yourself that compassion and, you know, permission.
To say, and some grace.
This is my story. Yes, this is my story. I don't need to compare my story to anyone else's and even people on their healing journey. It's like, don't compare your chapter one or chapter two to somebody else's chapter 20. I feel like it's very important to honor where we are in our journey and to start from there. So for me, like I had said, you know, how you had mentioned, where do we start? So that's the first step. I think the second step would be, honestly, gratitude was a huge piece for me and practicing gratitude every single morning. And I was doing it every morning and every evening. And then there were some days where obviously, you know, you skip it or you just do it in the morning. But being grateful for what you already have is so important. It's so, so important. You cannot receive anything. You cannot receive anything more if you're not grateful for what you already have. And sometimes when you go through traumas or you're going through a really difficult time in your life, whether it was past stuff or present stuff, it's so hard to see the good in your days. So, you know, there's a saying that says, not every single day is going to be good, but there is something good in every single day. We just have to retrain. We have to retrain our brain to find those things. So when you start doing gratitude and you start writing gratitude, and I mean like deep gratitude, like not just like, oh, I'm grateful for my family, I'm grateful for my job. I mean, like my gratitude was like, I'm so grateful I got to finish a whole cup of hot coffee today, not like having to warm it up in the microwave 25 times, you know? I mean like little things that we take for granted. And with that gratitude, you start finding things to write in your gratitude journal. So you start finding the little, you know, the little things in your day that are good. That's where I started. And then I'll be honest, I was chasing stuff. I was like going to meditation. I was going to yoga classes. I was researching stuff. I was reading all kinds of books. And I didn't realize I was already on my healing journey. I was just trying to chase. I was trying to chase whatever could heal me, in quotes, you know? And
yeah,
I did all of those things. And I was like, what is the next thing? What's going to heal my trauma? What's going to heal all of these parts?
It was like a high. You were on a high.
Yeah, it's like you're chasing the next thing. And I feel like a lot of people do that. I feel like a lot of people do that because they just want to feel better. And when they're not feeling better, they're like, I did this and I did that. And why am I still feeling like this? Why am I still reactive? Why do I still act the way that I do? And it's not till you know, I didn't realize that going to the meditation classes, doing the yoga classes, doing the gratitude, reading books that were giving me more awareness on who I was as a person and my experiences and how they affected me. And then I had to go through my forgiveness journey, which was that was a big part in itself, right? That's like a whole other show. But I had to go on my forgiveness journey, and really going deep to forgive, like, what had happened with my dad. That was like a whole other level. That was what was causing me the most anger and frustration, right? So that was in itself. And it was just, I didn't realize until I was faced with a certain situation where I would have dealt with so differently, you know, for even like 2 years prior, where I dealt with it so differently. And I said to myself, wow, that I'm very impressed with myself. I didn't realize I was already as far along on my journey than I was. And that's because I was so busy chasing different things that I wasn't just, you know, honoring myself for who I was and where I was at. And I wasn't able to see the progress I was making because I was always looking for the next thing.
Yeah.
So with that being said, I also feel like as a parent, you know, your children are also, especially if you have, you know, younger children or older children, they're going through things too. So it's like, where do I start with that? Do I start with myself? Do I start with my children? And I'll be honest, I did both. I was healing with my children. Of course, I had to heal myself from a lot of my, like, you know, go deep within myself in order to show up as the best mom that I could. And I did my best, and our best is going to look different every single day, you know? And I really want parents to understand that, like, through our healing journey, we can only take our children as far as we go ourselves. We can only take our family as far as we go ourselves in our healing journey. And it's important to heal ourselves, but it's also important to understand that we're doing our best every single day, and our best is going to look different every day. My best today is maybe going to look a certain way, but tomorrow my best might look different, you know? And I really want people to understand that. So the purpose of This Is Healing was to bring all the modalities that I did in one place for everyone to find that healing modality that worked for them, because not everything is going to work for everyone in the same way.
Yes.
That's why I created This Is Healing. And it's a place. I want it to be a place that you could come to and try different healing modalities and see what works for you, so that you don't have to go on the chase that I went through from this place to that place, from this teacher to that teacher.
Most importantly,
I want to be able to give people tools to heal themselves at home. I don't want people to feel like you have to go to a place or to a person to heal your traumas. I want to be able to give people the tools that they could use to bring home with them and continue their healing journey and do self-healing and not having to depend on the outside world to heal their traumas.
And I think that that is so important. I also think that it's so important that not only are you giving them tools that they can, like, go on and they can do this on their own time, in their own space, by themselves, however they want, but also the fact that you offer all these different types of healing that you do, in these different healing modalities that you were mentioning, because we are all different and we all take in information differently. And we all process things differently. Mm-hmm. So we need to do that. And, you know, you said something that I want to touch upon really quickly. And that was, you can only take someone as far as you've been. And
you've gone yourself.
Yeah. And that to me is like, Wow. For anyone listening at home, if you are looking and you're like, I don't know where to start this healing journey, I need some help. Like Lisa right here. You know what I mean? If you look at what she's been through on her healing journey, like hands down, I want you to help me, you know?
Thank you. I'm so like, honored.
She's a pro.
It's so
she's
rewarding.
A she's gonna help me out. Right? But Lisa, if anyone wants to get in touch with you, find out more about This Is Healing, anything like that, where can they find you?
Yeah, of course. So I offer so many different classes and different services. So first, like if they could go on my website, www.thisishealing.ca. You could find me sharing my story and my personal experiences and tools on my Instagram and TikTok, both same handle, _LisaToma. And of course, my healing, This Is Healing Instagram, which you could find on my Lisa Toma page, which is at this.is.healing_.
Amazing.
So those are all of the platforms.
Yeah. Lisa, thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight and sharing all
so
this information, but more importantly, sharing your personal story with all of us, because I can't imagine that opening up and sharing that is an easy thing. So thank you so, so
thank
much.
You.
Love you. Love you. Love you. I'm so grateful
for
you.
Thank you so much. This was so much fun. Thank you.
Guys, if you missed any of the show and you want to listen back, you can do so on our podcast. Anywhere that you like to listen to podcasts, just go hit subscribe, download, listen 10 million times if you want. I would really appreciate it, actually. and that's it. But we will catch you next week. Same time, same place. This is The Parenting Show right here on 640 Toronto. And I'm your host, Pina Crispo of chicmama.ca.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his 6-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.